under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome on into Hump the Day, Wednesday, October 25th, 2023 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Right out of the gate, I want to thank Izzy Lyman for subbing in for me the third hour yesterday. Many of you texted me and said, hey, who is this lady? I like her. She's got a great voice. Yes, she does, and she is so smooth. I love Izzy. She's a great patriot. And did a great job filling in the third and final hour yesterday. As I was checking in to McLaren Hospital, got there exactly 11:45, checked in, registered, got introduced to the staff that was going to be performing my colonoscopy, explained everything to me, extremely clean hospital, great people, great mood, great outcome yesterday. Dr. Parsons did a great job. And I got to tell you, it was the best hospital experience I've ever had. By far the best. Very smooth, got me in. The anesthesiologist came in and said, Mr. Bishop, verified my name and my information. What are you here for? A colonoscopy. Very good. He explained the anesthesia. And that was it. I was in the gurney there in the room, in the surgical procedure room, and about four or five people in and out assisting Dr. Parsons. And I got to tell you, he said, okay, we're going to start the anesthesia. Go ahead and turn over on your left side. And I said, is this where I count backwards from 3,000? And they all laughed. And he said, yeah, you go ahead and try to do that. So I said, okay, 2,999, 2,998, and that was it. 2 seconds later, it felt like I woke up. Miss Vicky was there holding my hand, smiling. The nurse was there. How do you feel? Great. Okay. When you're ready, you can go ahead and sit up. So I sat up. And she said, how do you feel? Lightheaded? And I'm like, no. She's like, okay. Well, if you want, when you're ready, get up and get dressed, and you can go home. And happy to report, colonoscopy process went totally smooth. Great outcome. No polyps. Clean bill of health. Good to go. So Medicare has been satisfied, or excuse me, the insurance process. When you turn 65, if you haven't had a colonoscopy, they may ask you to go get one. So that is checked off my list. And after getting clearance on Monday for my shoulders, my orthopedic surgeon that replaced my right shoulder and surgically repaired my left one, said, you are good to go. I'm good to go to start my weight training, get my arms back and my shoulders and hopefully my abs and my legs, and see my muscle mass go up a little bit, tighten up this flabby skin from losing all this weight, and everything is absolutely perfect. So thank you, God. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for everybody. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. A colonoscopy shouldn't be so wonderful, but I agree. It's really not a bad thing. Sherry reporting in from Ottawa, happy you had a good report. No, it wasn't good. It was great. She said, I am in great shape. So appreciate you guys today. We got a good show lined up for you. Dr. Jeff in the house in the next segment, going to be talking about Polar, finding out how she's doing. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
It's fall in Tuscarora Township and Indian River. A beautiful symphony of nature's dazzling colors of ambers, reds, and yellows. Golden Burt Lake sunsets and the crisp, clean air of northern Michigan. Enjoy our beautiful trails and byways. Fish and boat our clean waters. And meet the friendly people in our community.
Township Supervisor Bob Kramer, we love this place, and you will too. That's why I paid for this message.
Take out the paper. Little Traverse Disposal in Harbor Springs supports this radio station, and we would like you to support them. Little Traverse Disposal is locally owned with hardworking guys that provide professional trash disposal for your home or business. You're already spending the money. Why not support a Northern Michigan-owned company who supports us? So call them today at 231-487-0780. Again, 231-487-0780.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Every public meeting follows Robert's Rules of Order. Come learn these rules at a Crash Course Training Workshop in Gaylord, Michigan on Saturday, December 2nd. Michigan's state constitution will also be taught. Come learn how current elected officials are violating their oath of office. This training is a must for anyone who is considering running for elected office or if you want to hold your public servants accountable. To register, go to acconservatives.org for all the details. Again, go to acconservatives.org.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our number one here on this Hump Day Wednesday. Joining us on the line right now is Dr. Jeff up at the Sioux Animal Hospital. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, you guys admitted a new patient on Sunday. Had a special arrangement lined up for you there. Miss Polar was dropped off from Traverse City. Why don't you tell the audience what type of breed of dog she is and what was she treated for?
Well, Polar is a Great Pyrenees, and she was diagnosed downstate there with a what they call a pyometra, which is a uterine infection type deal. And they needed to, through various reasons, rehome her. And so we've taken her in. We've gone ahead and we fixed her. And we're kind of – I usually like to – when I take dogs in that we're – and we don't do this a lot, but we do this every once in a while.
Right.
We take them in. I like to hang on to them and kind of look at them. Honestly, this is how I got Cowboy. To kind of go off on a tangent, Cowboy was brought in to be euthanized, actually, because he was fighting with the other dog. Mm. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just take the dog and find him a home, which obviously I did.
It happened to be your home.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes it's not a bad person. And like I tell them, it's not a bad person. You're not a bad owner. It's not a bad dog. It's a bad match. And this is a young couple, and they live in a smaller area. And Great Pyrenees are livestock guardian dogs. And what they've been bred to do. So there's two different kinds of dogs you're going to find on the farm. You're going to have livestock guardian dogs, which are the ones that actually will stay out with the sheep or the goats or the livestock and will actually integrate into the herd and serve as guardians. I mean, really. And then you have the herding dogs, which are going to be like the German Shepherds and the Border Collies and, you know, and things like that, that will don't integrate in with the herd. Because you don't want the sheep to become accustomed to the herding dog because then they won't respond to it.
Sure.
So, but this is a livestock guardian dog. So she, we went ahead and took care of her, and she's recovering well and hanging out. And we're starting to kind of look for a farm for her to go to.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, explain, first of all, the size of Polar and her overall health. And what people can do if they're interested, if they have a need like this, they want their property protected, they want their livestock or whatever they have, horses, cows, whatever. Yep. Explain that whole dynamic about Polar.
Okay. Well, she's about 3 years old, and she's about 100 pounds, stands about 30 inches or so at the shoulder. And she's probably going to fill out a little bit more, too. She's still, you know, young and growing a little bit. But what you... Like I said, this is a working dog, okay? And the worst thing you can do is have these dogs that are bred to have jobs, and then they don't have anything to do. And that's when a lot of behavioral stuff crops up. So anybody that is interested, like has sheep or goats or even a small hobby farm, you know, that they would want to have, have a guardian dog, especially up here with our wolves and coyotes, you know, because a lot of times just even having the dog there is just even enough of a deterrent that you're not even going to have a problem. They can contact the clinic, you know, give us a call here, 906-635-5910, or you can reach out. We're going to put a post here probably tomorrow or the next day on our Facebook page, and you can reach us through that as well. And we'll just kind of start looking. So.
Right. Find a good match for it. Now, there are other applications. I just got a text message, and he actually is the one that asked me about the weight and the size of the dog. He said because he has a breeding facility of another breed of dog, and a lot of times he'll let the pups out with the mothers and things out in this fenced-in pen area, and sure enough, you know, he starts to see wolves and different things in the UP.
Yeah.
And he asked me, he said, do you think this might be a good mix, a good job for Polar here at my place?
You know what? I have never – that's an interesting question. That's one thing. I have never heard of somebody putting a livestock guardian dog in with other dogs.
Right.
It might work. You know, you'd have to do some training and do some kind of get them accustomed to it.
Right.
And the thing with the Pyrenees, too, they tend to bond more to the flock than they do the owners. I mean, not that they don't make bad pets, but you know, again, dogs have been bred over the years to have specific jobs.
Sure.
And that's what you want is that dog, especially like I said, as a guardian dog, to be attached to the sheep so that they will protect them. They still like their owner. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, they're not going to ignore the people too.
Right.
But they're really smart because they have to work on their own.
Sure, absolutely. Now, do these dogs typically, Jeff, do they live outdoors 24 hours a day? Do they come into the house at night? How does that work?
Typically, they live with the sheep or the goats or whatever.
Okay.
So they will live right with them. So.
Yeah, so they'll stay outside in the wintertime? That won't be an issue for?
Nope, they've got that big, heavy coat. And just like with the sheep, you're going to make sure they can stay dry and they can stay out of the wind. And that's the biggest thing, even with as cold as we get up here, as long as they can stay dry and you can get out of the wind and you've got deep bedded, you know, a nice good straw bed that,
right,
like it says, clean and dry, it's got to get really cold before I start worrying about, you know, even like my horses. A few years ago when we were getting down to like the negative, once I got down to like negative 40,
yeah,
and like, okay, now.
You got to figure something out.
Yeah, that's when we started blanketing them and stuff like that. But even then, I don't typically even blanket my horses during the winter because their nature's giving them their own coat. And you just kind of, you know, let God already figured out how to do it. Why should I?
Right. That's it. Now, you mentioned the other type of farm dog, the herding breed. And yep. What has been your experience as far as the best breed of dog to do that job?
Again, it really depends on what you want. A lot of people use border collies, very intense dogs, very active, very high energy dogs. Again, I would not recommend getting a border collie and then live in an apartment, okay? Because that is just, unless you're jogging 10 miles a day, that dog is going to have so much energy, it's going to destroy your apartment.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, ironically, a St. Bernard would make a better apartment dog than, you know, a 100-pound St. Bernard or 120-pound St. Bernard make a better apartment dog than a 30-pound border collie. Because they're basically big slugs, you know.
Right.
And, you know, St. Bernard lays around all day, go for a walk around the block, boom, you know, and... But these border collies work really well for that. There are some herding shepherds out there still that people still use them for herding, the German shepherds, which is why they're named that. And collies, some people still use like some of the rough collies and things like that. But just as with labs, where you're going to have specific breeders and specific lines that are you know, you're going to have the retrieving lines, and there's even some flushing labs that people go out there and will, like, you know, grouse hunt with them. With the border collies and the German shepherds, you're going to have specific lines that if you want a herding dog, you need to find somebody that has that lineage. Okay.
Sure.
So like the herding lineage is different than the lineage that I raised because I was raising police dogs. There's a common undercut between the two, but for the police dogs, we're looking for something a little bit different than the herding group. Mm-hmm. So,
they have different roles, functions.
Yep. And the herding dog, because the herding dog has to work with the owner or with the handler, they tend to attach much more closely. Like I said, the guardian dogs tend to attach more closely with the herd. The herding dog will actually attach more closely with the handler.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And they have more of a willingness to please. And things like that. It's like I said, you know, the Pyrenees, dogs that have been bred to have to be smart and think on their own, dogs that work independently. So you've got some of the hunting breeds because they're out, you know, 50, 60 yards away from you. They got to,
sure,
you know, have to be able to think on their own. Guardian dogs are like that. Sled dogs are like that a lot too. You know, huskies are incredibly intelligent dogs, not very trainable sometimes.
Yeah,
but exactly. They can be stubborn, but they're not dumb, that's for sure. They can, if they want something, they can figure out how to get it.
Yeah. So. Well, they've got more of that alpha male personality too, even the females. So they're pretty strong headed. I saw a video, and you can find this on YouTube. And I don't know if he was in Ireland or Scotland or exactly where he was. He had a foreign accent, and he was on an ATV, and he rode up to this gate, and this border collie jumped off of the ATV, and the gate was shut. And he cracked open that gate, and he said, "Okay, girl, go get him." And the dog took off like a bat running. Man, she disappeared over the horizon, over this crest of a hill.
Yep.
And within probably a minute, I'm going to say minute and a half, all of a sudden that hill was completely filled, Jeff. I'm talking hundreds, if not a thousand head of sheep kept coming over this hill. And from the crest of the hill, and this hill was probably, I don't know, a football field 500 feet away.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this entire hill was filled with sheep, and they all kept running toward this gate. And this dog was running around the back end of the herd, and on both sides, this dog was running and running and running, and they got funneled down into this fenced-in gate area, and he pulled that gate wide open, both sides of it, and every single one of those sheep come running through that gate. And that dog literally was the last one. Poor thing, her tongue was hanging out almost to the ground. And she jumped back up on that ATV, and he's like, "Good girl, good girl." And her tail's a wagon. Yep. And it was like, are you kidding me? I could not believe that one dog was able to herd that many sheep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, sheep have an instinct to herd together or to group together when they're being stressed or quote unquote threatened. And that's why if you look, the herding dogs tend to look kind of like wolves. Okay.
Okay.
But the guardian dogs, think of the Great Pyrenees is one we're talking about right now, kind of looks like a sheep. So even we've kind of bred them to kind of look differently. So that's why they aren't having the guardian dogs in with the flock isn't causing distress on the flock.
Gotcha.
So they're like, oh, yeah, that's another sheep. But and it's really interesting. I mean, we can go way into this, how the different behaviors that there are teased apart in these things.
So, yeah. I got a text from Christine down in Northville. She said she had an Australian terrier that turned into their children's nanny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Cowboy, when he was younger. When I first got him, when the kids were in the backyard, you know, and if they were starting to act wild and run around or start heading for the, heading for the road, he would get up there and do what they would do with a sheep, which is they would kind of body check them to get them back towards the yard.
I love it.
I've always had shepherds. So with he's 20 years old now, but when Noah was a baby and was younger in the backyard, and we had like a 5-acre yard, I wouldn't think twice. He's 4 or 5 years old. You know, he goes outside and plays by himself. I'm like, yeah, he's got three shepherds. You know where he's at because the three dogs literally follow the kid around.
Right. keep him in line. I love it. Yep. Well, listen, if you folks are interested or you know somebody that might be in adopting Polar, get a hold of Jeff there at the Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie. The number again, 906-635-5910. And they'll interview you, and you can come see Polar and see if it's a good mix for you.
Yep.
Greatly appreciate you doing that, Jeff. And we've got more text messages to go into next Wednesday already.
All right. Well, good.
Yes, absolutely. So appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much for being a sponsor and helping Polar and the family out.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, buddy. Have a great day. Bye. Bottom of the hour news break right here. I'm Chuck Randy. We'll be right back.